Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Topa. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Amen. I give glory to God for each and every one of you. We praise the Lord on this evening. Amen. Because he is good all the time. God is faithful. Amen. He's not like any of us. Glory to God, and we praise him for that. Amen. Because he considers us in all things. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us without any conditions at all. And we don't understand exactly what that's like, because we'll break off things with people without a moment's notice because of this thing and that thing. But the Lord never breaks off anything with us. He loves us in spite of us. He loves us no matter what we've done, where we've been, who we've loved. He loves us. And I give glory and honor to the Lord because he is in constant pursuit of those that he loves. Amen. And that means you. That means me. That means all of humanity. The Lord is constantly in pursuit of us. I give him glory. And I give him praise. He is my hero today. Amen. My protector, my keeper. Amen. My God and my deliverer. My strength, glory, my healer, my provider. God is. God is all that. And so, so much more. We honor him today. Amen. For all that he is and for all that he has done, we give the Lord glory and honor this evening. Amen. We're reading this evening from Deuteronomy chapters 23 and 24 and Nehemiah chapters 1 through 4. Amen. We're winding up. Amen. The year 2018. We started this year at the very beginning on January 1st. Amen. With this series, A Year in the Word. Amen. To read and the mandate, amen, was to read the entire Bible in the span of 2018. Amen. And we've been doing exactly that. We're now in the month of December, winding it up. Amen. And then in January of 2019, we'll be going into another series, which I will announce later. But I give glory to the Lord that he has kept us all year long. And we've been able to, no matter what was happening, continue in this series. Amen. We praise God. He is God. He is God. He is God. And there is no other. Amen. If you don't know where to go and which way to go, amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and he is the life. And no man comes to the Father except by him. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Amen. He is our salvation. He's the one, amen, that came into the earth, wrapped himself in flesh and dwelt among us, sacrificed his life for the sake of every human being. He became that perfect sacrifice so that we are now, or can be now, redeemed from our alienated relationship. Amen. And back into our position that we were intended to be from the very beginning. And that is in a right relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. We just give glory to the Lord because he did that for us. He loved us so much that he became sin for us. Every sin that has ever been committed was thrust upon Jesus, the one who had no sin at all, who had ever committed any sin. He sacrificed himself for us. For us, oh, for each and every one of us, so that we might have life and that more abundantly. He said that's why he came, is that we might have life and that more abundantly. But now we are in the position that we must choose that life. Amen. Choose life. Glory to God. And he will keep his promise. Every promise in the word to us is yes and amen. And he will do exactly what he said. Amen. And all we have to do is give him our big yes and allow him, amen, to come in, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And seal us with the Holy Ghost, and he will do just that. Amen. He's pursuing us even in this hour to align us and realign us, to make us whole and entire and lacking nothing. Glory to God. That is the God I have been talking to you about this entire year. Amen. And I honor him tonight. And I honor all of you. I thank the Lord that you're here to listen, amen, to the word of God, to listen to me preach, to listen, amen, to the pray with me. Amen. As I pray for each and every one of you, I have never seen you. I don't know you by name, but the Spirit of the Lord, he knows you. The hairs on your head, they are numbered. He knows your name. He knows the place in which you were born. He knows where you are seated, where you're standing, where you are lying. Right now, he sees you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your family. He knows your background, everything there is to know about you. The Lord knows it all. Amen. And he cares about every aspect of your life. And that is why he is constantly in pursuit of you, constantly aligning you and realigning and positioning and repositioning so that you will be in that place of blessing. So when the time comes, when that Kairos moment, the fullness of time is in place, you will receive those things that he has positioned you for. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I thank him for his alignment, for his realignment, for his positioning, for his repositioning. Amen. He is constantly moving us into place, and I thank the Lord for it. Because as sheep, we get out of line, we get out of place, we wander off, but the Lord is constantly reeling us back into the glory of God Almighty. I praise him, amen, for reeling us back in so that we can be blessed, because all of us want to be blessed, and yet and still we still wander off from time to time. But the Lord is faithful and he is just, amen, and he loves us so much that he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any of us should perish. Amen. He wants all of us to have life. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, come to a point of turning away from wickedness, turning away from the darkness so the light can burst forth in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give God the glory. We give him the praise because he is God. And there is no other. There's no other. There's no other. There is no other. Hallelujah. Amen. We're reading today from Deuteronomy chapters 23 and 24 and Nehemiah chapters 1 through 4. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, just thanking you, oh God, giving you thanks and praise, Lord God, for aligning us and realigning us, positioning us and repositioning us, giving you thanks and praise, oh God, for this great love that you have for all of humanity. We thank you, Lord, that you care about our lives so much. Lord God, as a group and as individuals, you care about our lives. There's times, Lord, when you're dealing with us that it feels like it's just us and you, even though I know in my intellect that you're also dealing with someone else. But, Lord, I thank you for the individuality, Lord God, for the custom, amen, care, glory to God, that you give each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the healings that you have formed in all of us, for the breakthroughs, Lord God, that you formed and the breakouts that you've established so that we can break out of our dire circumstances and walk into the light, leaving darkness behind us and the light bursting forth in our lives through your Spirit. Lord God, we give you glory and we give you praise today, Lord Jesus, because it looks like we can feel the breaking of day. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah, your Spirit bursting
forth in us and us bursting out of our circumstances, out of our misunderstandings, Lord God, out of our misinterpretations, out of our long histories of sorrow and pain, bursting forth by the Spirit of God. Amen. In our purpose and in our destinies to go forward with power and demonstration of the might of God Almighty in our lives, the might of Jesus, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Keeper, our Strength, our Provider, our Help in the time of trouble. Oh, Lord God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord God, for all these things and so much more. We thank you, Lord, for revival. We thank you, Lord, for regeneration. We thank you, Lord, for restoration. We thank you, Lord, for mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing right now. We thank you, Lord God, even for the things we don't understand, because you're moving in the midst of it all to make it right for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord God, we bless your name as we come before you, asking, Lord God, that you give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word, of your will, and your way. Oh, Lord God, even now as we go forth reading your word, we're asking, Lord God, that you move in us, open our minds and our hearts. Lord God, open our eyes that we see, open our understanding, Lord God. Give us revelations, Lord, directly from your throne. Speak to us, Lord God, about our situations. Heal us, Lord God, as we gain more of your word, as we gain more understanding, heal us, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to be all that you called us to be, lacking nothing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, bless your people, Lord God. Bless your people spiritually, Lord God. Bless, Lord God, mentally bless, psychologically bless, socially blessed, Lord God, financially blessed, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Move every obstacle, destroy every yoke of the enemy, every ancient evil that has come against our purpose and our destiny. God, rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, and let your Spirit, Lord God, place a barrier, Lord God, in the hearts of your people. Oh, Lord God, that they not be moved by the enemy or any of his antics, any of his tricks, any of his deceptions. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, let us not be bamboozled. Let us not be fooled by the wicked one. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name, Lord God. We bless your name today. We bless your name today, Lord God. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, Lord God, I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray all these things. In Jesus, 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 Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We give glory and honor to the Lord. It is due him at all times. Amen. There is never going to be a time in the history of man that the Lord is not due the glory. Amen. He is blessing us every day, all the time, in ways that we do not see. He's keeping us from danger, seen and unseen, for everything that you've been through already. God has saved you from so many more things that could have been cataclysmic in your life. Glory to God. I thank the Lord. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him for his mercy and for his love and for his kindness toward us all. Amen. We're reading today from Deuteronomy 23 and 24 and Nehemiah chapters 1 through 4 to the glory of God Almighty. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. One of the illegitimate births shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out to Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp, but it shall be when evening comes, then he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, and that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. You shall not give back to his master this. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform, for you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. When a man marries a wife, when a man takes a wife and marries her, it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hands, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. You shall not bring sin on the land of the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. No man shall take the lower or upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then the kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. In an outbreak of leprosy, that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priest and Levite shall teach you, just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to take his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if a man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord and it be sin to you. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. You shall not pervert justice, do stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. You shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. I have read and you have heard from Deuteronomy chapters 23 and 24. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word. We are now going into Nehemiah chapters 1 through 4. It came to pass in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, and Hanani, one of my brethren, came with the men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these things, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances with which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer your servant who your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I am the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been for. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, there is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city and the place of my father's tomb lie waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the armies and horsemen with me when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren and the priest and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hashenai built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors and its bolts and bars. And next to them, Miramoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kos, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Benah, made repairs. To them, Tekotes made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. Moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Peshaiah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodeiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Melatia, the Gibeonite, Zadon, the Maronite, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Haya, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And next to Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they fortified the Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. And next, Raphaiah, the son of Hur, leader of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jedidiah, son of Harumaph, made repairs in front of his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabaniah, made repairs. Malchijah, son of Haram, and Hashub, the son of Mahath Moab, made repairs in another section, as well as the Tower of the Ovens. And next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloshesh, leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They built it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the walls as far as the refuse gate. Malchijah, the son of Rechab, leader of the district of Beth Hakarim, repaired the refuse gate. The refuse gate. He built it and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Shalom, the son of Kal Hazah, leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, covered it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired the wall of the pool of Shelah by the king's garden as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Azuk, the leader of half the district of Beth Zur, made repairs as far as the place in front of the tombs of David to the man-made pool, and as far as the house of him, the Levites, under Relem, the son of Bani, made repairs. Next to him, Hashabiah, the leader of half the district of Keilah, made repairs for his district. After him, their brethren under Bavi, the son of Henadad, leader of the other half of the district of Kala, made repairs. And next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the leader of Mizpah, repaired another section in front of the ascent to the armory at the buttress. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, carefully repaired the other section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Cuz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him, the priest, the men of the plain, made repairs. After him, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs opposite their house. After him, Azariah, the son of Meshiah, Ananiah, made repairs by his house. And him, Benu, the son of Henadab, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress, even as far as the corner of Pelel, the son of Uzai, made repairs opposite the buttress and on the tower which projects from the king's upper house that was by the court of the prison. After him, Pedadiah, the son of Parosh, made repairs. Moreover, Nethanim, who dwelt in Ophel, made repairs as far as the place in the front of the water gate toward the east and on the projecting tower. After them, the Tokites repaired another section next to the great projecting tower and as far as the wall of Ophel. Beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. And after him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hunan, the sixth son of Zaleph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, made repairs in front of his dwelling. After him, Malshijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the Nethinim and of the merchants in the front of Mephkeh gate, and as far as the upper room at the corner, and between the upper room at the corner, as far as the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. But it happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was serious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they opt for sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, the stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach and on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we build the wall. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon you." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and the fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked on construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labor in the work, and half of the men held swords from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, "Let each man and his servants stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing." I read, and you have heard from Deuteronomy chapters 23 and 24 and Nehemiah chapters 1 through 4. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in all of our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you and God anoint you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like Nehemiah, amen, was working on the building of God. Amen. He's working to build back up the city of God. Amen. The city that the Lord had placed his name on. Amen. He was rebuilding, amen, with the backing, hallelujah, of the Lord himself. God sent him to do this work. Amen. And he had to do the work of building the wall with the sword in his hand. Amen. With the opposition in his way. And sometimes we, as the people of God, have to do that. Amen. We have to build, amen, the kingdom of God with a sword in our hands, recognizing that our enemy is opposing us in every stone that we lay, in every brick that is set, in every word of God that we speak. There's an enemy that is opposing us in every one. And we have to build with one hand, with a sword in the other hand, amen, to oppose the enemy, amen, to stand against, to defend, amen, ourselves against the enemy that is coming against us, amen. But I praise the Lord, because in us and backing us is the Lord God Almighty, in whom all power is, and there is nothing impossible and nothing too hard for him. He is the creator of all things, even the enemy himself, and he cannot come against that God is doing in us. If God says it is so, it is so. The enemy cannot turn God's yes into a no. Remember that. He cannot turn God's yes into a no. He cannot curse that those that have been blessed of the Lord. And we are the blessed of the Lord. I give God glory and honor today, because he is God, amen, and he is moving, amen, greatly and bountifully in each and every one of us, and changing things and maneuvering things in the background, and resetting and adjusting things and realigning and repositioning things so that we are in place and set for the work, set even for the battle, set for the deliverance, set for the healing, set for the deliverance of God Almighty, set, amen, for life to reign in us. And that life is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Say yes to the Lord today. Say yes to everything that God has for you today. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Give him your big yes today. And he will come in, and he will sup with you, and he will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. I praise God today. Amen. We give him glory and honor for all that he is doing and for all that he has done already. We bless the Lord. Amen. We bless the Lord. I hope, amen, and I do pray that you will continue to join me in this journey through a year in the Word. Amen.